Good morning, everybody. This morning's message is titled, Come As You Are. It could have said, No Perfect People Allowed, because none of us are perfect. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. True faith never limits God, but is open to whatever God wants it to do. If we give ourselves to God, watch him work miracles in us. God is the waymaker, the promise keeper. What an awesome God. He turns lives around. That's who God is. He doesn't work the way we think. And he doesn't work in the time we think often too. We need to learn patience. We have to come in faith. During the week, there was a little talk in our family about giving our problems to God. We pray before bed and we give our problems to God. But what happens the next day? Do we pick them up again? And then do we continue to battle with them? Food for thought. I'd like to share a story with you about two ladies. The first lady had sincere concerns over her sins, and she had a desire to be what God wanted her to be. So she prayed, Show me the sin in my life. Show me what I am really like. She prayed this for 2 weeks consistently. After 2 weeks, she began to pray, Please, Lord, don't show me anymore. I can't stand myself. The first lady was aware of her own sinfulness. She was sorry and she wanted to be forgiven. It was a real reality check for her. So what should she do? Well, we know Romans 3:23 tells us, All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the answer is, come as you are. Come to Jesus as you are. The second lady attended an evangelistic meeting, and there was a travelling minister in the town. He was preaching salvation, and he was calling people to come to commit to salvation in Jesus. Several people came forward at the salvation invitation. This well-dressed woman came forward. The minister had a pre-arranged prayer for the people to say, and that prayer went something like this. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner, and I know that I can't save myself. I do need your forgiveness for my awful sins. I can't do it without you. Please, Jesus, forgive me for my many sins. Several people had walked up. The minister acknowledged each of them and told them he would be praying a group prayer with them and they would repeat his prayer. So he started. Dear Lord, I know I am a sinner. And they all started. Dear Lord, I know I am a sinner. The minister saw the people praying and then he noticed this one woman. She wasn't saying his prayer. She was saying nothing. So he stopped the prayer and he looked at her and he said, Don't you want to be saved? And she said, Well, yes, I do. I want to be saved, but I'm not a sinner. The minister said, Well, then you can't be saved. Jesus only died for sinners. But I'm a good sinner, she says. I'm not a bad sinner. I'm a good sinner. A good sinner, lady? There are no good sinners. You will have to take your seat. God can't save you until you be conscious that you are a no good sinner and you need his forgiveness. But you don't understand. I'm really not a bad sinner. The minister again told her to go back and sit down. She just stood there, not speaking. The minister continued the prayer with the others. They all joined in. Finally, she said, "Oh, please forgive me. I know I am a no good, hell-deserving sinner. I'm proud, I'm arrogant, and I'm self-righteous. I do need Christ to forgive my sins." "Wonderful," said the minister. "Now you're ready to do business with God." God will take anyone willing, regardless of who or what they've done. There are no good sins, and there are no good sinners. And no one is ever going to get better until they recognize that they are sinful and how sinful they are. But we can come as we are. True faith never limits God. Faith is open to God's guidance. Wherever he leads and whatever he wants to do. Let's turn in our Bibles now to Mark 5:22. Mark 5 and verse 22. And I will read verses 22 to 24, which say, "Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. 'My little daughter is dying,' he said. 'Please come and lay your hands on her, heal her so that she can live.' Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him." At this point, we stop the story and branch out into another story about a woman who was in that crowd. This woman had been bleeding chronically for 12 long years. Her condition made her perpetually unclean, according to Jewish law. This meant that she couldn't be around other people. She had to shop alone. She had to eat her meals alone. She couldn't go to church or any gathering. She had to stand at a social distance from everyone else. Sounds a bit like our COVID with social distancing. If she was married, her husband could divorce her, and she couldn't have children. If she wasn't married, no man would want her as his wife. But she had one additional step that we don't have with COVID-19. She had to announce her unclean status wherever she went when others approached. It was a terrible, lonely existence. To be socially unacceptable. Mark 5:26 says, "She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but had gotten no better. In fact, the verse finishes by saying she'd gotten worse. Yet, she came as she was to Jesus." Verse 27 says, "She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, verse 28, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel her body, that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Let's just consider this for a moment. This woman had violated Jewish law. She should not have been in the crowd in the first place. And to touch Jesus when she was unclean, that would render him unclean as well for that day, which could bring her a very strong reprimand. She was taking a great risk here, a risk of rejection, which tells us that she was desperate. She wanted a cure, and she was desperate to get one. We are to come to God just as we are. Don't try to get cleaned up first. Why not? Because none of us can get clean enough for God. We are all sinners. Our best hope, our only hope, is to come to Jesus as we are. Bring all our sins to him, all our needs to him, all our worries to him, and allow him to clean us physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Bring Jesus the problem and leave it with him. Don't pick it back up the next day. Let Jesus handle it. In Acts 16:31, Paul and Silas were asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your house," meaning "and your household." We need to let our desperation drive us to God, not away from God. Reach out for the hem of his robe. Bring everything we have to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the God who heals, and allow him to cleanse us, body, soul, mind. And when we come, like the woman in the story, believe the impossible will happen. Consider this woman's motivation. Why did she take such social and legal risks to touch the hem of Jesus' garment? Verse 28 tells us the answer. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. It was a miracle. And verse 29 gives us that miracle. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. This woman had tried it all, every doctor, every cure. In today's world, it would look like she had been and tried every mail-in cure, every magazine ad, every online promise, every prescription drug, every over-the-counter medication, every herb, every vitamin, every procedure, every exercise routine, everything, and nothing had worked. In fact, she had gotten worse. Some of us know the feeling sometimes that we do everything we're told and nothing improves. And in fact, the situation gets worse. There is something about this woman's faith that catches the eye. She just knew that all she had to do was touch Jesus. She didn't need his attention. She didn't need him to lay his hands on her or to touch her in any way. She didn't need his time. She just needed to touch his robe. And that would be enough. Because that was faith. She realized that Jesus was the healer. He was God's son. And she knew that God could heal her. And God did. Even without Jesus' conscious participation. We now move back to our story of Jairus, the local leader in the synagogue, and Jairus' daughter was dying. Jairus was a bigwig, a synagogue official, and a truly godly man. He had asked Jesus to come quickly to heal his very sick daughter, his 12-year-old daughter. Notice the 12-year-old daughter and the woman sick for 12 years. Jairus' daughter had been alive as long as this woman had been sick. Jesus was urgently needed to go to Jairus' daughter to heal her when the woman touched him. And Jesus stopped. He paused to find out what had drawn healing power out of him. In the meanwhile, Jairus' daughter was almost dead. And she moved even closer to the point of death while Jesus tarried. The disciples were agitated when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" He was in a crowd all around him. They said, "What do you mean, who touched you? We are in a crowd. Everyone is touching you." Jesus stopped and waited. And the woman was there watching. And she knew immediately that she had been found out. At first, she was embarrassed. But she was used to a life of shame. But it was just a touch amongst the crowd. Verse 32, but Jesus kept on looking around to see who had done it. Verse 33, the frightened woman trembled at the realization of what had happened to her. She came and fell to her knees in front of Jesus and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." Jesus spoke to the woman and finally sent her on her way, completely healed. Have you ever experienced a miracle? A small miracle or a large miracle? When you experience that miracle, the only proper response is to honor and thank the one who gave you the miracle, to thank Jesus for that miracle. Back to Jairus. While this was going on, Jairus' people were coming back and forward. And Jesus said to the woman on her way to go in peace. And as that happened, some of Jairus' people came and said, "Don't bother the teacher any longer. It's too late. Your daughter has died. All hope is lost. So the child is dead. It's too late. Or is it?" Jesus continued the journey to the home of Jairus. On arriving there, he took the child's parents and three disciples And he went into the room where the girl was lying dead. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Little girl, get up." Verse 42. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. So what ties these two stories together? In both accounts, people were called on to believe the impossible. Just as the woman with chronic bleeding believed in an impossible cure, Jesus now challenged Jairus to that same level of faith and belief. He said to Jairus, "Don't worry, your daughter will live." And she did. What about our case today? Do we believe in the impossible? Not necessarily a healing, but what about a leading? A come as you are experience, and God will guide you. It's not about the make me well or I'm giving up on you. It's not that. It's rather about holding on to God when you have nothing else to hold on to. About believing what God can do, what doesn't otherwise seem humanly possible. About giving our problems to God and seeing what he does with them. Not giving our problems to God and taking them back, but rather leaving them there with God and asking for God's faith and guidance. And lastly, Jesus did not heal every sick person in the Bible. Sickness and death are a part of the present world, but we have a promise of a new heaven and a new earth with no more tears, no more sadness, no more suffering, no more sickness, and no more death. Until then, Jesus invites us to come as we are, to throw ourselves at the hem of Jesus' robe and be prepared to seek a cure if God so grants it, and choose to worship the God who gives and sometimes takes away, regardless of the outcome. Jesus invites us to come as we are. There is hope for the hopeless. There is rest for the weary. We're not too far. And Jesus invites each of us to come as we are. Thank you.